Good morning. Wow, that's almost as weak as the children. What is it, all this rain or something? Are you waterlogged? I tell you, just about. Did you have any rain while I was gone?
Yeah, just a little bit.
I tell you, I don't know which is worse, dealing with the rain or hearing my wife complain about it. She's a person that likes to be outdoors. This rain certainly messed her up this week. Yeah, but I am lucky. I've got a wife that likes to go out and cut the grass and take care of that sort of thing. So, you know, I praise God for that. Do want to thank all of those who were involved in the day camp. I think we had about 25, 26 people, workers and kids, and that was a great success. I really intended to get out there, but that jet lag was just killing me. And I wasn't quite sure when it was over. And on Friday when I got up, Jane says, well, by the time you get out there, they might be gone. So I didn't make it out there, but my thoughts and prayers were with you, and appreciate all of those who worked. How many people work with our day camp? Okay, thank you so much. Thank you so much. The scriptures today are interesting. The Hosea passage is the whole book of Hosea, really, is a book about frustration. You ever get frustrated? Well, God gets frustrated. God, in all of his goodness, God, in all of his greatness, gets frustrated. And you know what he gets frustrated about? You and me. He gets frustrated about us, our relationship with him, our seriousness about him. And so he decided to do a different kind of prophecy with Hosea. He decided he was going to have a living prophecy. He decided he was going to call Hosea, instead of just preaching, he was going to have Hosea live out a life that said something to the people. And he told him, go marry a prostitute, because my people are acting like prostitutes. They're selling themselves to other things instead of giving themselves to me. And then every time he had a child, they named him some weird name. And the last two are not pitied and not my child. Boy, if you think you got stuck with a zinger of a name, that's pretty bad. Not pitied, not my child. Because God was just so frustrated with how his people were not following his will and his way. And this is why God had to send Jesus into the world. Because he had entrusted his will and his way to a certain group of people to tell the world his story, and they just couldn't get it right. So he finally sent his son in the world, Christ Jesus, to live among us, to teach us, to give of his life, to sacrifice his life on the cross, that we could get the point that God loves and cares for us and wants us to respond to him in a meaningful way. But guess what? We still weren't getting it. And so Paul has to write a letter to one of the churches, the church at Colossae. I mean, all of the churches were new churches. They were struggling. They were learning new things. And he started out that letter by saying, well, you know, I've heard of your great faith. I know you believe. And I've heard of the love you have for one another. In other words, we love our own folks. But Paul said, what I've got to pray about is that you grow in your knowledge of the grace of God, that what God wants you to do is share that love with people out there in the world. Don't just have faith in me and get together as a group and pat each other on the back and feel good about things. I want you to share my love, my care, my concern with the rest of the world. There's a lot of people out there that need to hear some good news in their lives. And I'm frustrated with you because you haven't done that. And then in the second chapter, he shares the words that we are to be established in the faith. What does that mean? What does it mean to be established in the faith? Well, I know some of you like gardening. I've heard you talk about it. And working in your yards and doing things like that. And when I thought about established, something being established, I thought of some rhododendrons I planted a few years ago. Now, I bought them all at the same time, bought them all at the same place, and I think it was Lowe's or one of those places that gives you a year's guarantee. Have you ever noticed that it takes a plant 13 months to die? If you do it halfway right, they'll last about 13, 14 months. Just long enough to get past that year that they guarantee them. I hadn't noticed anybody offering a two-year guarantee. But just based on the dirt that's in the pot they get them, if you stick it down in a hole of stone, it'll probably live 13 months. And so I planted my rhododendron. And I planted some in the back and a couple in the front. Well, you know, those in the back are doing great. I mean, they're sending out new shoots. They're blooming beautifully. They're growing just like you want them to. That's why you planted them, right? I mean, you buy a flowering plant so it flowers. But I tell you what, those in the front aren't doing so well. Now, this was about 8 years ago. And they're puny, the ones in front. I mean, they're puny. Now, they're alive. They're rooted right where I plant them. They live. They bloom a little bit. Of course, also here, you're supposed to go out right after they bloom, clip off the old blooms, and they do better. And, you know, the backyards, I don't do that, and they do just fine. And I go out and I prune off those things in the front yard, and guess what? They're still puny. Now, you could say that the rhododendrons in my backyard are established. They've been there for 8 years. They're growing. They put out shoots. They're bigger than they were when I bought them. They bloom beautifully. Oh, I just enjoy them so much. One's in the front. They're there. That's about it. They're there. They're rooted. They're alive. But they're not doing so well. They're not established. After 8 years, they're still not established. And maybe that's because they're not in the right kind of soil. And I'm sure if Bob or some of you people that know about plants came over, you could tell me why they're not established. But when I read this passage in Colossians where it told us we're to be established in the faith, I thought of those rhododendrons. I thought about the tremendous difference between rhododendrons that are established and beautiful and lovely and producing the flowers and the growth they're supposed to, and I thought about the ones that were planted in front that are there, that are rooted, that are alive, and are puny and kind of ugly and scrawny looking. But you know, that's just like people in the church. We got people who come we got people that don't come. We'll start with that group first. Yeah, we'll talk about people who aren't here. We talk about people that just don't come much. Now they're alive. They made a commitment to Christ at some time or another. They made a commitment to this church. You know, they're around. They're alive. But you couldn't say they're really established in the faith. But then we got folks that come every Sunday. And I tell you, the way they sit in the pews, you'd think they were rooted there. But are they established in the faith? They're alive. They're growing. They're planted here. This is their home, just like my front yard's the home for those puny rhododendrons. But they're not necessarily producing a great deal. They're not established in the faith. And that's true of every church. That's what God was talking about to Hosea. I'm frustrated with my people. I've given them everything they need to be established in the faith, to grow and prosper and produce much fruit, to bloom, so everybody will see how wonderful life is and how wonderful things are for them, and that they will praise me for it. But we're just not established. What about a business? We talk about established businesses. You know, that's a business that's been around. That's a business that's got a good reputation. That's a business that their owners have seen that they have done a good job in carrying out their mission as a business, and you can count on. When you pick up the phone and call them for some service or goods, you can count on those services and good, and you say, now that's a good, well-established business. And then we've got names for other business, you know, fly-by-night. I mean, I know one business in the Hope Mills area that's declared bankruptcy 3 times that I know of, and every time I turn around, I see the same trucks driving around with a new name on them. Whoever owns that business goes into business, makes some money or loses some money, declares bankruptcy, gets out of business, and I don't know who in the world's loaning them more money, and the next thing you know it, there's a new name on the trucks. And now we're into business four. I saw the trucks the other day. Business four. Now maybe somebody else bought those trucks. But it makes you wonder. Makes me wonder. I'm not sure I'd call them to come take care of me because they're not very well established. They're alive. They're there. They're in business, but can you count on them? And this morning, God is asking us the same question. You're here, you're alive, or you wouldn't be here, or we'd be having a funeral. You could be here. But are we established in the faith? Now, what do we need to be established in the faith? Well, according to Paul, to be established in the faith, he talks about receiving Jesus Christ the Lord and living in him, rooted and built up in him. You see, we're not rooted in the soil of Methodism. We're not even really rooted in the soil of Christianity. And we're certainly not just rooted in the soil of St. Matthew's United Methodist Church. We're to be rooted and find our life in Christ Jesus. And we happen to be Christians, we happen to be United Methodists, we happen to be at St. Matthew's United Methodist Church. But this is not where God wants our roots to be. God wants our roots to be in Christ Jesus. So we're available to be God's people wherever he sends us. We're here now. And that's good, that's wonderful. I'm glad you're here. I wish more people were here this morning. But we're and grounded in him, established in the faith. That's another way of saying that we need to be more than church members. We need to be disciples. And when we're disciples, we produce much fruit. We bloom and we blossom and we grow. We make a difference. And people can tell there's a difference. And when people see that difference, they come closer to God because they've come closer to you and me. Are we established in the faith, or are we just here? Now, a couple of verses past where Marty stopped, we have these wonderful words. Hold fast to the head, from whom the whole body, nourished and knit together through its joints and ligaments, grows with a growth that is from God. You see, we can't set out to grow a church. We can't set out to grow big. Oh, we can. We can be like those fly-by-night businesses or businesses that are constantly going into bankruptcy. We can use gimmicks that cause us to grow in spurts, but we're just going to be like the plants in my front yard. Boy, that first year, just to get it through the warranty period, put out a little fertilizer, put it in a new hole, and it did fine. Hadn't done much since. You know, you might have done fine first time you united with this church. How much have you done since? Are you established in the faith? Are we growing with a growth that God is giving? How do you stay established in the faith? You follow the teachings of our Lord. And our Lord taught us in the gospel lesson for the day that I shared with the children that when we pray, we've got to be persistent. We've got to ask. We've got to seek. We've got to knock. So God can open things up to us and we can see better than we've seen before. We're not talking about three different promises. Ask, seek, knock. We're talking about one process. You've got to ask, and then you've got to seek, and then you've got to knock, and it'll be open to you. In other words, it takes a little work to be a disciple. It takes some effort to be established in the faith. It takes something special for God to grow a church. But He wants to give us the growth if we will be established in Him. Are you established in the faith? When I came here in February and started praying about coming back here, God has been leading me to do some wonderful reading and some books and being touched by some wonderful authors. And everything I'm reading is saying that the real purpose of the church, and we've talked about this time and time again since I've been here, is to make disciples. But you know, we can't just assume that everyone who's a member of this church is rooted and grounded in Christ. We can't assume that people are already established in the faith. We can't assume that everyone who is a church member is a disciple, because I think for about a century, the church has failed to disciple its own and teach its people how to be established in the faith. I believe God's calling me to that ministry among you. I believe if we become established in the faith, we will grow with God's growth. But we've got to do our part, and then God will add the blessings. Are you established in the faith? God asks you to search your heart and your mind and your spirit today. Do you want to be established in the faith? Do you want to be a disciple? That's the more important question. Let us pray. Gracious Father, you have called us. And most of us in this sanctuary have responded. But have we been established in the faith? Have we thought about the difference of just being here, of being a member, and being a disciple? Your people in Old Testament times forgot about what that meant. And you sent your Son into the world to remind them and to share a good news with the world. May we not just hear that good news, but seek to be established in a faith that is rooted and grounded in Christ Jesus. guide me and others in this church, that we might guide other people to be established in the faith. That we grow not because we just want numbers, but because we're established, because we're healthy, we have a natural growth that is your growth. We ask these things, gracious Father. We seek your guidance. We knock at the door of opportunities that are before us, that we might know your will. And we ask all of your blessings upon us in the name of Christ our Lord, and through the power of your Spirit. Amen.